These education results, how do they compare between Australia and China?
Well, this recent release of the PISA results, Australia came in 11th in reading, which is equivalent to countries including New Zealand, UK, and US, and came 13th place in science, and then 24th place in maths, which apparently China, on the other hand, topped in all the three subject areas. But I must highlight that the statistics from China, unlike Australia, doesn't represent the whole of China. It's just a representative of four big cities and provinces, which include Beijing, Shanghai, Jiangsu, and Zhejiang. So it's not reflective of students, which is a huge number of students living outside these four cities and provinces.
Mm. So for those Chinese students that would be living in the big cities, as you say, it's a very, very big country. The cities themselves are probably representative of a lot of places' populations.
Mm-hmm.
What is actually is working, I guess, for the education system in China to be getting these results?
What is working? Well, I think a lot has to do with culture in terms of how the families believe the value of education is very much driven by by what they believe education can do for the for the future of the children. Partly is also because in China, especially, you are looking at an inverted family structure where you have a child looking after four grandparents with two parents and then one child. Because of the one-child policy that they had in the past years, which stopped in 2015, so they believe that in order to ensure that their children will have a better life, they will have to ensure that they have a good education, and then once they have good education, good jobs, they will then be able to look after them in return. Mm-hmm.
So why would some Chinese parents still, and obviously this is some, not all, but why would some still have a preference for Western education like we have here in Australia?
Well, I must say that what I've done is just a small study. It's not representative of all Chinese parents or families. But what I've witnessed whilst I was there for the past 3 years and I came in and out of the country, it's that China itself is rapidly changing. They have this social and economic transformation, which means that there is fast becoming a middle-class nation. We cannot see China like how we perceived, how historically it was a very poor country. It was, but now it's no longer the same. So the middle-class urban households, in fact, according to one report, will rise to 45% by 2022. And this means that for these middle-class Chinese families, what do they aspire, for the future of the children? It's really shifting in the education landscape in Chinese big cities such as Shanghai. So that's where I'm looking at what are they aspiring for in terms of a world-class education. And for these middle-class families, the parents that I've interviewed, they are looking out. They're looking out of Chinese rigid system, which is very much examination based, and they're hoping for a more balanced view of the world. In that sense, they are looking for how, in a Western point of view, they look at inquiry approach to education. They look at creativity, critical thinking, which which cannot be in a way taught. It has to be built in the environment. So hence, there's a pocket, a large group of middle-class families are looking towards hybrid education system. So there's a mix of Chinese. They do value Chinese local education, by the way. It doesn't mean that they are looking out and hence disregarding Chinese local education, but they are also wanting to see a balance of East meets West curriculum. So they have Chinese local teachers teaching their children Chinese language and maths. So they teach maths in Chinese and values education. And then they adopt Western curriculum such as the International Baccalaureate Oh, the United Kingdom, you know, you have the GCEA advanced levels, and they adopt that curriculum, so they have the Western expatriate teachers to come in those schools to teach, together with their Chinese bilingual teachers. You know, so it's two teachers teaching in class in lessons like science, arts, PE, music, and inquiry.
It's rather intriguing. In terms of the aspirations, though, you mentioned there, and these enormous pressures we see building in the Chinese economy and culture, how do those pressures reflect on the students themselves, on the young people of China right now?
Well, I did interview their children. So in my second half of my research, I asked the parents if I can talk to their children, given that they, you know, they have given me that permission. So I have the range of age 6, 7, up to 13, all right? So I basically, because this is something that is emerging, so hence I asked the children about how they find their education in this kind of hybrid system. And I must say that they are really very happy. I mean, they did say, basically I asked them, what's the structure like? What's the daily like, daily activities? What do you do? Okay, so they're very busy. I mentioned in my research that, you know, the parents actually are busy taking them, but apart from the school, you know, the daily routine in school with a mix of this East meets West curriculum. Once school finishes, the parents actually have organized extracurricular activities. Apparently, it's not all academic. It's not like what we have here in Australia, where we have Asian parents to take their children for coaching, you know, tutoring in maths and other academic subjects. But for these group of children that I have interviewed, I say, where do your parents take you to? And they would say that, oh, I learned things like sports, like basketball, swimming. If it's English classes, sometimes it's mixed with drama or debate. And other things like arts, dancing, musical instruments. By the way, these kids are telling me, oh, I learned not just one musical instrument. I learned violin and piano, you know, that kind of thing. So it's really busy. They have so much that the parents are taking them to this kind of extracurricular activities, which it's something that I have, you know, the children themselves claim that they're very happy being engaged in all that. So I asked about homework time, like, do you have time to do your homework? And they said that that's when they make use of their free time in class to do their homework. One of the parents in my article that I mentioned in the conversation, the mother was saying, you know, in the end, my child will need to learn how to manage her time. That's why she's playing piano competitively outside school. So, you know, and apart from that, it's like balancing that. So what I'm trying to say is that, yes, academic achievement is important, but they are not pushing them to excel like what we perceive, getting high marks all the time. It's about them discovering what they want in their lives. It's about them, you know, enjoying learning. It's about them having a good education. This is their view of a good education.
It is intriguing to see that new focus on creativity and the like. Hannah, thank you very much. Really do appreciate your time unpacking this one for us this morning.